Good morning. It is such a joy to be back with you this morning. I want to say that no other church that I've preached at in all of my training has replied to me with as great a good morning as St. Andrew's usually does. So it is really lovely to be back with you. It's been 2 years since I last got to preach here and almost 3 years since I began my training in my grand plan to usurp Steve and take his job. I joke, maybe. So as I said, I'll be ordained on the 1st of July, and as I prepare for that, I'm really excited to be back with you, to get to be back where God and the church helped me test out whether this is what God's call for my life was, whether ministry was what God was calling me to, or just a nice idea that I thought I'd like to do for the rest of my life. And over 2 years here, I worked out with some help that it was God's call and mine. And that is a little bit like what we hear in the passage today. In verses 3 and 4, Jesus says that the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out, that he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But sometimes we can wonder, how do we hear Jesus? And how do we know that it's Jesus? And so this morning, we're going to think a little bit more about that. I'm still in the St. Andrew's WhatsApp group because I love to get to pray for you all, to get all the updates, know what's going on. And now that the church has a mobile phone instead of an office landline, Laura and Steve can send a WhatsApp into the chat from the church phone, and it doesn't necessarily say which one of them sent it. But after 2 years of working with Laura and Steve, after thousands of texts and emails, I can tell with a decent accuracy who is sending the message, even though it doesn't say. It's a really fun game to play. Try it. From the tone, from the words chosen, from the phrasing, from the content, sometimes from the typos, I can recognize their voice because I know them. Because I know them, I know their voice. The sheep follow the shepherd because they know his voice. To recognize Jesus' voice, to tell it apart from other shepherds or thieves or random voices in the world, which can be very loud, it's really important. But how do we recognize it? For this, we're going to turn to our passage. Who is John telling us that Jesus is? Sometimes I find it really helpful to look at what happens before the specific passage that we read in church and to get some kind of context as to what's going on and why John has written this bit. Why was it important to include? What is he trying to say here? So who is John telling us that Jesus is, and why does that help us to hear Jesus' voice? Our passage starts with Jesus saying, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees." Or in Laity's Welsh translation, "Oh, Pharisees, I'm not going to lie to you." But what have the Pharisees just asked Jesus? The Pharisees were a group of powerful Jewish leaders who were so concerned about breaking God's commandments that they put dozens of extra rules in place so that people couldn't get close to breaking the commandments. But in making all of those extra rules, it became impossible for some people to keep any of them, and then they were condemned and ostracized from worship and community because of that. Jesus calls them hypocrites and calls them out for harming people by holding them to standards that God doesn't set, while breaking the rules themselves. Here, Jesus is responding to the Pharisees asking if they are blind. We can see it in the verse before chapter 10. Why is that the question? What has just happened? So let's rewind all the way back to chapter 9, which is the page before if you want to see, but I'm going to summarize it for us. So Jesus heals a man who has been blind since he was a baby. Jesus spits on the ground, not my go-to move in praying for healing, makes some mud in the dusty ground, which doesn't feel super sanitary, scoops it up and puts it on the man's eyes, which I imagine is not the immediate healing the man might have been hoping for, or the spa treatment that we might have been hoping for. Jesus tells the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man, I imagine, is quite bemused. He goes and washes and comes home seeing. And people notice. And soon the Pharisees hear and are very angry with Jesus for breaking the laws, in their eyes, working on the Sabbath day. After a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in verse 40, just before our reading, the Pharisees, who have been treating the no longer blind man quite awfully, find Jesus and question him. Jesus says in chapter 9, verse 39, that he has come into the world so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. And the Pharisees, I picture in my head, are a bit like offended teenage boys. And they puff up and step forward and say, "What, are we blind too?" And Jesus says in verse 41, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains." Basically, if you couldn't see and didn't know what they were doing, there would be grace. But because they claim that they do see and know the commandments, they are guilty. And so we roll into John 10 and today's reading. And Jesus tells a parable. "Anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." The Pharisees don't understand, so Jesus tries again, a bit more plainly. "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So why do we go from Jesus healing this man to talking about sheep? It seems a bit disconnected. Well, the Pharisees are questioning Jesus' leadership and his authority from God. In the Old Testament, one of the main images used for God and his relationship to the people was that of the shepherd and the sheep. We can think about it in one of the most famous pieces of scripture, Psalm 23, which we just sung, which starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd." And it was also used by God to talk about the leaders of the people too. We can look at Jeremiah 23 or Ezekiel 34, which are passages that Jesus and the Pharisees knew and discussed in the synagogue. And Jesus is drawing on them here. In these two passages, in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, God condemns the leaders for neglecting the people, exploiting them, harming them, even destroying them, God says in the Jeremiah passage. In Ezekiel, the human shepherds of God's people have stolen from them and harmed them. And in both, God promises that he will raise up a good shepherd over all the people who will tend and care for them, who will protect them. And here in John 10, Jesus is almost accusing the Pharisees of the same thing. He's echoing the prophets, talking about thieves and robbers who enter the sheep pen and scatter the sheep. He talks about the thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But there is good news. In this parable, there is a good shepherd, and the sheep recognize him. And in a bigger claim, the verse after our reading, verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." He is the fulfillment of God's promise to send a good shepherd, to gather the scattered sheep back, to tend and protect them. But he doesn't say it yet, and we're not going to skip ahead. Jesus is contrasting himself, this parable of a good shepherd that knows the sheep by name, leads them, goes ahead of them, whose voice the sheep know and follow, against thieves and robbers. And there is something beautiful in verse 3, where the shepherd knows each of his sheep's names and leads them. He doesn't know their name just like a register to tick off, but is a relationship where he walks with and leads them. I grew up in a farming community, and many of the farmers had herds or flocks that their families had kept and cared for generations. They did know and have names for each of their animals. They knew their histories, their characteristics, their personalities, and they were all encapsulated in their names. Jesus knows our names. He knows each and every one of our names. Baptisms, as long as being welcomed into the church family, the family of God, and into God's covenant of salvation, they're also naming ceremonies. When we baptize someone, we say their name. We say Laity, Patricia, Fiona, Sue. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In confirmation, we do the same. We say Laity, Steve, Catherine, Tony. God has called you by name and made you his own. We're reminded that God calls us by name. God knows our name. And there is care and attention in knowing people's names. There is power in the fact that the shepherd knows the name of the sheep. It makes me think of Mary Magdalene on that first Easter morning, as we see in the stained glass. When she meets Jesus and thinks he's the gardener. And it's only when Jesus says her name, Mary, that she realizes and recognizes that it is him. She recognizes his voice as he calls her name. We can recognize God's voice as he calls our names in our baptisms, our confirmations, our lives, our prayers. In the being knownness of knowing our names, where they summarize or are almost shorthand for the fullness of who we are. We recognize Jesus' voice because he knows us, and he calls us by our name with dignity, affection, and kindness. He calls our name, and his voice leads us to relationship with him. Next, Jesus continues to build this contrast between himself and the thieves, the bad shepherds. And he says, I am the gate. It's a bit weird. There are 7 times that Jesus says, I am, in John's gospel. Can anyone remember any of them? We've had the good shepherd. We're talking about the gate. Any others? The way, the truth, and the life. Pardon? The light of the world, yes. Any others? There's the vine. There's the bread of life. The resurrection and the life. And is that 7? I think that might be 7. I think that of all of them, the gate is quite hard to actually understand. A gate is inanimate. It's not a person or a particularly compelling imagery, really. I just think of a wooden gate. But there's something that's really interesting about the image when you dig deeper. In the ancient world, lots of fields or pastures didn't even have gates. They had walls or fences or hedges, but not gates. There was just an opening. And once the flock or herd had come inside, the shepherd would lie down in the gap. They would physically make themselves the gate. The protection for the flocks from wandering out or from anything else wandering in. The gate kept the thieves and the robbers, the wild animals, or any danger away. The gate is a picture of safety. The gate is a picture of salvation. Like the way, the truth, and the life, the gate points towards Jesus as the way, the door, the gate to eternal life, to safety and salvation, not just in this life, but in the next too. Jesus is contrasting himself as the gate, bringing salvation and safety from all that the gate keeps out, from the thieves, the robbers, the misguided or corrupt leaders that the people of Israel had had for hundreds of years, from Jeremiah and Ezekiel to the Pharisees that they were under today. Jesus brings safety and salvation to the sheep and to us who follow him as our shepherd. In the final verse of the passage, Jesus declares, "The thief has come only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life, and life in all its fullness." He is not a thief here to kill. He is the shepherd and the gate, keeping the sheep safe, caring for them, leading them away from danger. We recognize Jesus' voice because he leads us into safety. It is not an abusive or harsh voice. He does not harm us. Sometimes where the Lord leads us is scary and is sometimes a little bit unsafe through our own eyes. But the shepherd is always protecting us and bringing us into safety. He is defending us from all evil and from the enemy. His voice leads us to safety. Lastly, I want to draw out verse 9, that in Jesus being the gate, he immediately makes a way for the sheep to come in and to go out and find pasture. He brings freedom. In him, knowing our names, the fullness of who we are, in him being safety, it brings us to freedom. Unlike the shepherds or the Pharisees, he's not controlling or destroying. He brings us into freedom. In relationship with Jesus, in following him, we have the freedom to choose to follow and to choose to not to. To follow him one way or another. Sometimes there are very specific things that God calls us to do. And there are also many, many times where God gives us a choice. Often God is less concerned about what the specifics of what we're doing look like, but how we're doing them. Sometimes it's less about what job we have, but about how we're doing that job. Or even less about who we are friends with, but how we are a good and godly friend. When we are listening to Jesus and following his voice, his call leads us into freedom. If we are working out whether a voice is God's or something else, we can look at what will bring freedom, not only for us, but for those around us. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. His voice leads us to freedom. His voice leads us to relationship with him, to safety, and to freedom. And his voice leads us to extend that relationship, that safety, that freedom, to those that are around us. Especially for those of us that are in any kind of leadership in our families, in our workplaces, in our church. We are called to be like Jesus. We are called to be good shepherds as we follow the good shepherd. And all of this looks like life in its fullness. Jesus proclaims, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." The Message version of the Bible writes it like this: "I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed. Life in abundance, life more than we ever dreamed of, is life where God the Shepherd knows each and every one of us by name, calls us, where he leads us into safety and good pasture, where he is the gate that keeps us safe from prey, and where we are free within his safety to go in and out of the pen to pasture. And then we follow his call to bring others into the flock too, to bring that relationship, that safety, that freedom to those around us. This is how we know Jesus' voice, because we know him. We recognize Jesus when we know him. And to know him, we read the stories about him. We dig into them and seek to understand them. We pray and we listen to his voice today. We listen to him speak to us now. And step by step, we practice following him with one another.